Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Life of Jesus. When the atonement was finished on the cross, the Son of God left his physical body and went to paradise, where he stayed for 3 days and nights, including a short trip over to hell to inform the people therein that the atonement was complete and their fate was sealed because they had died in their sins. Meanwhile, the Sanhedrin got nervous about Jesus and stationed Roman soldiers outside the tomb, not because they believed he would rise from the dead, but because they didn't want the body stolen. The third day arrived and Jesus left paradise and came back to the tomb. The Holy Spirit surged through the dead body, making it come alive the moment Jesus re-entered the body, and the guards froze in fear when they saw the angel roll away the stone from the tomb. The Jewish leadership initiated a cover-up, but it was impossible to contain the truth. Jesus had risen from the dead just as he said he would. This message is entitled, The Resurrection. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrected Life of Jesus Worldwide. And today, we're going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And that's exciting. So let me just pray right now. Heavenly Father, thank you right now for anointing me, Lord, as I preach this message today about the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, there is no salvation. And I thank you, Father God, right now for your Holy Spirit to move mightily upon us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse number 27. And let me read for my outline here so I do not deviate, and I will have time what I need to do. Jesus left his body on the cross. Last week we talked about the judgment. Jesus left the body, and the body died. It was 3 p.m. Wednesday when Jesus declared, "It is finished," and voluntarily laid down his life. The Son of God left his body hanging on the cross and went to paradise, which is under the surface of the earth. We know that because the children of Israel saw the earth open up and swallow Korah and his followers. So we're going to read from Numbers 16, 27. So they get up for the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of the tents, and their wives, and their sons, and the little children. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them in my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all appurtenance unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that were under them, and the earth opened her mouth, swallowed them up, and their houses, or tents, and all the men that pertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed unto them, and they perished from among the congregation. The place of the dead is called Sheol, and Sheol has two compartments. It's located under the earth, and this is where you have hell and you have paradise. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16 right now. And Jesus here is giving us a teaching about hell. So Luke chapter 16, we're going to pick it up in verse number 19. Notice now that Jesus did not say, this is a parable. He said, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and designed to be fed by the crumbs, which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Abraham's bosom, paradise, is the same thing. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So underneath the earth are two compartments, Abraham's bosom or paradise, and then we have hell, it's also known as Hades, or Gehenna is another word for it. So these two places exist underneath the earth. The moment any person dies, the moment the body dies, a person either is taken to heaven or taken down to hell. There's no dead people walking on earth. You're either in one place or the other. Now, Jesus is describing now what happened in hell. And in hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torments. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. They could see from hell into paradise. From paradise, they could see into hell. But they could not go over back and forth. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. When people say, yeah, all my friends are going to be in hell, you know, so we're going to party down. You're not going to party. You're going to burn. But Abraham said, son, remember that you in your lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so the day which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can it pass to us that will come from thence. Let me interject this now. You and I are spirit beings. What you see up here is a body with a face and a voice. But that's not really John Terrell. That is John Terrell's physical body. I have to use that to walk around on earth, to do things. But inside is my soul and spirit. And my soul has had a spiritual body that is solid in a spirit world. It has a head, eyes, ears, hands, feet, a brain. Actually, I am talking to you through my soul brain, using my physical brain, which is a computer, so that you can hear and understand what I'm saying. Now, you don't run a chapel. You did not walk here. You came in cars, trucks, sedans, whatever you came in. Right now, your vehicles are sitting outside, dead. They're dead. They have no personality. When we're finished here and you walk out and you get into your vehicles, you turn on the key, your vehicle becomes alive. If you're a good driver, it's going to be a good car. If you're a bad driver, it's going to be a bad car. Just yesterday, someplace in the United States got mad. There was some kind of a gathering. Someone got angry. He ran to his car, jumped in his car, rimmed it up, and ran into people and killed some and injured others. Bad car. No, the car was not bad. The driver was. So when you die, you see, what will happen is that you will step out of your vehicle, and here you stand now with a spiritual body, arms, legs, everything else, and a spirit if you're born again. And if you're born again, you'll take it to heaven, praising God. If you're not born again, you go down to hell. You get strapped to a place. They turn on a flame on you. And there you are, saying how stupid I was that didn't get saved. So Jesus describes this. Because they do not have physical bodies, the density of the earth does not matter. But they are spiritual places, hell and paradise underneath the earth. Right now, paradise is emptied. It was emptied out after the resurrection of Jesus. But that's another story. Then the man said, I pray you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them for the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will I be persuaded till one rose from the dead. So when you end up in hell, if you're not saved, you're going to do a lot of praying. You're going to be praying for your loved ones because you're going to say, I don't want you to come here. There are no atheists in hell. They all believe. But it's too late. They can't get saved. Let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 5. That's Isaiah chapter 5. And we're going to read about hell again. If I can scare the hell out of you and you get saved, it's worth it. Okay? Isaiah 5. And I want to read from verse number 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished. Their mouth are dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell has enlarged itself, opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth descend into it. And the mean men shall be brought down, and the mighty men shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. Hell is enlarging itself. It is estimated that there were 600 million people on earth prior to the flood. Of the 600 million people living on earth at that time, only 8 were saved, Noah and his family. Hell suddenly was filled with 600 million people. Over the years, most people on this earth have not accepted Christ. They were not looking for the Messiah. They did not follow the Bible. They were heathens. They had the message to begin with from Noah, but it was taken away from them. So most people that ever lived on this earth actually are in hell. It's a very big place filled with billions of people. Sad. Jesus doesn't want that. That's why he died and rose, so that we can be saved. But you know, most people today don't want to be saved. They don't want to hear from the Bible. They want to do their own thing. And Satan simply blinded them. And they don't realize that someday they will die. No one is going to leave this earth alive. That's a matter of fact. It's just a matter of time. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. During his 3 days and nights in paradise, Jesus crossed over to hell and told the people that the redemption of mankind was finished. There was no salvation for the people in hell since they had rejected the coming of the Messiah. The Greek word normally used for preaching is kerusso, meaning that people can respond to the message of good news. Peter used the word ekeruxen, which means proclamation. He simply announced, it's done, finished, but you have no chance to partake in it. If you're reading now from 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse number 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, but once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was in preparing, when few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So for 3 days, Jesus was in paradise. He went into hell, proclaimed, I made the atonement, salvation is now open, but because you did not believe in the coming Messiah, you did not believe what had happened before, you are now eternally lost. Can you imagine now Jesus being in paradise? And there was Abraham, Moses, Elijah, all kind of different people were in paradise. And they were milling around and saying, praise God, Jesus. Praise God that you did it. Because they knew that after his resurrection, they could go to heaven. Because up to that time, no one could go to heaven because the price had not been paid. Sin had not been paid for yet. Let's move to the next point of the message now. The high Sabbath. There were 2 Sabbaths, the Passover week, one on Thursday, and then you had the regular Sabbath on Saturday. Now we turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to read from chapter 19. That's John chapter 19. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. You see, in the Talmud, it states, and the Talmud is a writings of the Jews that they have, and they also have the Kabbalah. And in the Talmud, it says, you know, that when you have the Passover, no one can be hanging on trees or crosses. All corpses have to be down. The land has to be clean. Now, The Jewish high priest was very pious. It had to be clean. He was dirty. He demanded the crucifixion of Jesus. But he was religious. Do you know that more people have been murdered in the name of religion than any other thing? Roman Catholic Church, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, all murder in the name of religion. If you don't believe their religion, you're going to die infidel. Religious people are dangerous. As a Christian, we're not religious. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every one of us got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have a religion. So they simply said, now, we want to have them killed off. Remember from last week, now, when you hang on the cross, it takes about 3 days to die. So you have a little foot support. You stand on that. You got your hands nailed up here. Your feet are actually nailed to that little platform. And as you hang there, your arms get tired, and you stand up on your feet. Then your feet get, your legs get in spasm, and then you hang on your hands and arms again, and you go back and forth like that. Take 3 days to die. So what they did was, they go up with a sword, the spear, not the sword, and just whacked the legs, broke the legs. Now the man on the cross, he couldn't rise up. His legs were shot. So he would suffocate probably in about 15 to 20 minutes. He would suffocate because the legs were broken. In verse number 32, we find this. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him, Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So we had prophecies here. In order to save time today, because I always got more scriptures than I get really time to read, I'm just going to go to read from Zechariah 12:10. That is Zechariah, Old Testament, one of the last books in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10. And I will pour for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in business for him as one that is in the business for his firstborn. So Zechariah prophesied that Jesus would be pierced. Zechariah worked between 520 B.C. and 510 B.C. So 500 years before this happened, it was prophesied. It was also prophesied that no bones would be broken in his body. So now, it's late afternoon, Wednesday, and now comes the burial. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin and a secret follower of Jesus. He went to Pilate and sought permission to take down the body of Jesus to bury it. Pilate granted a request that Joseph was part of the Jewish leadership. Joseph had the body wrapped in linen and placed in a cave or a tomb that most likely had been prepared for himself when he was going to die sometime later. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. There's the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. And we're going to read from verse number 50 to 56. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid in a sepulcher that was hewn in the stone, where never man before was laid. And the day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. 6 o'clock, the high Sabbath was on. I want you to think about this now. The apostles had not pre-planned the burial of Jesus. Today, we can, a lot of people do that. They simply contact a funeral home, and they simply said, you know, I would like to make arrangements for my burial. And they'd be happy to sit down and talk with you. They ask you, do you want to be cremated? Do you want to have a coffin? Where do you want to be? And so on. And today, actually, before you die, you can prepare everything for your funeral, and you can pay in advance. So when the day comes when you die, they come and pick you up in a body bag and take you down to the morgue, and you're laid on a slab. They either, you know, they embalm you, go in the coffin, or they toast you, or they, you know, cremate you. Either way. Now, the apostles, first of all, they didn't want Jesus to go to Jerusalem. They didn't want him to die on the cross. They had no pre-planned burial. None. Who did this? The Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit moved upon. Now, the apostles could not have gone to Pilate and said, can we get our boss back? Pilate would have said, no. You're not going to get him back. God had to use an official, a member of the Sanhedrin, that had respect. And he came to Pilate. Pilate knew who he was. And Pilate agreed, you can have his body, you can do the burial. Nothing happened by accident in the kingdom of God. Everything is pre-planned. The beautiful thing is, there are angels walking with you. God has planned for you. He has all kinds of things he wants to do with your life. And if you let him and you are obedient, you will be blessed and you have a blessed life. Now, the devil got nervous, and so did the Jewish leadership. Now, they were not too sure about anything. They had finally got Jesus killed, and they were not too sure what would happen next. So we find now in verse 62 in Matthew 27, 62. That's Matthew 27, 62. Now the next day, the following day of preparation, it was on the high Sabbath now, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together to Pilate. Now, here is the pious Jewish leadership walking in their robes and stuff and so on, and saying, sir, we remember that deceiver, they called him a deceiver. And listen, folks, if you read Jewish history books today, Jesus is referred to as a deceiver. I have their history books. That's what Jews learn in the synagogues. That's why it's so hard to reach a Jewish person for Christ, because they have been poisoned. Saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night, steal him away, and say to the people, he is risen from the dead, that the last error should be worse than the first. So now we got to protect ourselves. So, Pilate unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went, made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone, and setting a watch. Now, 3 days waiting. In Mark, let's just read Mark 9. Mark 9, and this verse, we get that in here. Mark 9, 30 and 32. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is delivered to the hands of men. They shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they stood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Now, none of the disciples believed that Jesus was going to be resurrected. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Now, they were scattered in Jerusalem. Bible doesn't say where they were hanging out. And in Matthew 26, I don't want to go from verse number 31. We read this. Then said Jesus to them, all you shall be offended because of me that this night, which written, I will smite the shepherds, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said to him, verily said to you, that this night before the cock crow you shall deny me three times. Peter said to him, though I should die with you, yet will I not deny you. Likewise also said all the other apostles, with the disciples. So you can imagine now, Peter, big mouth. He had told everybody else, if everyone will flake on you, I'll be there, Jesus. Count on me. He was the first one to deny him. For 3 days, Peter, I don't know if he was with the other disciples, he was just in the hole someplace. But they were not doing good. And they were simply saying, you know, it's lost. He's dead. What can be done? So, regardless of where they stayed, it was a difficult these days during when the Father Jesus suffered from grief and disbelief that the Messiah died on the cross, failed to display supernatural power. They all remember that Jesus said he would rise on the third day, and this was their last hope. If Jesus did not rise on the third day, it was over. Have you ever prayed for some people and you want a miracle and you know that you're either going to get it or it's going to be a disaster? This was 3 days and three nights of torments for the 11 apostles, the 70 others, and for the women. They were grieving, crying, lost. In Matthew 26:53, I'm not going to read it, Jesus said he had 72,000 angels at his disposal. Now, this is my personal understanding, because we have angel civilizations all out through the universe. There are so many of them that we cannot even put a number on them. And this was the highlight in history. They had lived through the rebellion of Lucifer. They had lived through the war in space. We don't know how long it lasted. They had seen the trial of Lucifer when he was sentenced to the lake of fire with his angels. And they knew that God had a redemption plan, but he did not know how it would be played out. So in my personal viewpoint, this is what I think. I think that the intergalactic television network was in Jerusalem that day. And it was trained on a tomb. And angels sitting all over in front of their TV sets, watching. These are holy angels now. Watching what will happen on the third day. Satan circling over Jerusalem. His fallen angels circling over. Demons standing on the ground around, thick like mosquitoes in Alaska in the summertime. And they were all waiting, waiting. Because no one in the spirit world knew exactly what would happen. Jesus said he was going to be resurrected. But they had not really seen it or understood it. Then came the third day. Let me read now from page 3 of my outline. The third day began at 6 p.m. on Saturday evening. God never revealed to the gospel writers the exact time Jesus left paradise and re-entered his body lying in a tomb. There was a coordinated effort that took place at the resurrection. Here's what happened. Jesus told everybody in paradise, I'm going back to Jerusalem. I'm going to pick up my body in the tomb. And it's going to be resurrected. And Jesus left and came to the tomb. Angels were there. The Holy Spirit was there. Let's read Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. As the Holy Spirit came into that tomb, okay, angels took the napkin. This was done orderly. Angels took the napkin that was wrapped around the head of the corpse, took it off, and the Bible says they folded it and laid it on the side. They lifted up his body. They took off the linen he was wrapped in and laid him down. And then the Holy Spirit came in full power. Searched through that body. Every molecule in that body began to vibrate. Everything was restored. And now, the corpse was refurbished, renewed into a resurrected body. A resurrected body. Everything intact. And then, Jesus moved into that body, and the body, and then he raised himself up and walked out of the tomb. His body there was a resurrected body. He did not have any more blood in it. His blood had been shed and done away with. Resurrected bodies do not have that. He had a power to be visible and invisible. He had the power to go through walls. He had the power to fly. This is the type of resurrected body that you and I will get when we get to the other side. And can you see now, Jesus, as he went into that body, then went up and walked out, the Roman soldiers laying there, petrified. They seen the angels, the light. They seen it all. And they were just laying there, petrified of fear, realizing this is beyond us. This is supernatural. Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. We made a mistake, but we crucified him. In Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, and we pick it up here in verses 2 through 4. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became a dead man. But there was more things happening. As Jesus walked out on heavenly television, every angel civilization saw, he is risen. And there must have been a cheer that just shook the entire universe when the zillions and trillions and billions of all the angels were shouting of joy that finally the devil had been defeated and the human race could be salvaged. Satan had a nervous breakdown. I'm sure that the fallen angels screamed at him and said, "You idiot! Look what you've done! It backfired on us." Demons covering their heads and say, "Man, we got problems now." Yes, they do have problems. I don't know how many demons I cast out in my lifetime as a Christian, but I sent a whole slew of them to the prison. And they don't like me. And they're screaming down there and burning them. And I'm so happy. The more they burn, the happier I'm at. This is a day, or that resurrection day, that could not be thought about. It was the greatest day on this earth. Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin were the first one to hear he's risen. It's amazing. Instead of repenting. Now, if I would have been Caiaphas, I would say, "What? He's risen? You saw it? Okay, I'm going to repent." That would have been my reaction. But Caiaphas and his leadership hardened their hearts and said, "We're going to fight this." In Matthew 28, verse number 11, we read this. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and taking counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers." They knew what they were doing. They gathered together. They said, "This will take, we need to bribe these soldiers." The same demonic forces that are working then work now. Bribery, lying, cheating, making things up, fake news. And they said, saying, "See, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Now, a Roman soldier knew this. When he's on guard duty, if he fell asleep, there was no court-martial. He was killed. Death. Any Roman soldier falling asleep on guard duty was executed. No questions asked. Now, the high priests and his ilk, they want to send the Roman soldier back to Pilate and say, "Hey, Pilate, we went to sleep. They stole his body." He shows the power they had. and this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure him. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and the same is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. I've read Jewish literature, Jewish history books. I heard them talk. Jewish leaders today, their leadership, are just as bad as they were 2,000 years ago. They hate Jesus. They hate him. In their history books, he's called a bastard. Jewish children learn in their synagogues that Jesus' mother Mary was a whore. She got pregnant by a Roman soldier. That's Jesus. So when you come up to a Jew today and say, I'd like to share Jesus with you, he's going to think, you're going to talk about the bastard? His mother got pregnant by a Roman soldier? You're telling me he's God? Forget it. That's why it's so hard to reach Jewish people, because they have been poisoned. Let's turn to Luke 24:1. Luke 24:1. Let's talk about the women. I want you to notice this, that Jesus did not go to his disciples. They had to come to him. Luke 24:1. Now, by the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, 6:00, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now, the women did not come because they thought Jesus was resurrected. They knew that Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped him in a linen. But they wanted to embalm him. They wanted to do it right. They were looking for a corpse. And instead, they found he was not there. And they found a stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, two angels. And as they were afraid, and they bowed down the face of the earth, they said unto him, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of the sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remember his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all the things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, other women that were with him. We told these things unto the apostles. And the words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 20, excuse me. John chapter 20. If you want to pick it up here in verse number 3. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, that John came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter, following him. He went into the sepulchre, and sees the linen cloth lie, and a napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. It was very neatly done, the resurrection. Then when it also the other disciple came forward to the sepulchre, and he saw, John saw and believed, Peter did not. For yet they knew not the scripture, he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. They went back. No one at this port had seen them. But now, look at these verses. But Mary, this is Mary Magdalene, stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and sees two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" She says to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She thought somebody carried him away. When she said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around herself and said to him, "Rabboni," which would say master. Jesus said to her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God." Isn't it amazing? Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, that was taken in adultery, taken to Jesus, and they went to stone her. And then Jesus told them, when everybody left, "Go and sin no more." She became one of his most devout followers. She loved Jesus. And I think it is significant for you and me to understand that God loves us despite what we have done. When we got saved, we were forgiven. We have been cleansed. And Jesus showed himself for the first time to a former prostitute and said, "Mary." And she recognized him. And she went and told everybody, "I've seen the Lord. He is risen." This is a great day for the apostles, the 70 elders and the women. It was a great day. It was a best day for you and me, for the human race. And it was a worst day for the devil, his fallen angels, and all the evil spirits. It was a day that changed history. That from that moment on, man could be saved and did not have to go to hell. I hope that you will take time this afternoon and go through the sermon again and think about it. Because this is the center core of our faith. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation, there's no Christianity. There was a resurrection, and there will be millions of resurrections of Christians that will receive their new bodies someday in the future. To you now that I've been listening, and I know that I have people that are not Christians, you watch us on YouTube, Vimeo, on our website, particularly on YouTube, and you're not saved. For some reason you're drawn and you're watching these videos. And I want to tell you this. You can get saved today. If you are not sure that you're saved, today is a day. And all you have to do is to simply say this: "Father God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, rose on the third day, and that through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Jesus, Come on into my life. Save me right now. Wash me with the blood of Jesus so that I can have eternal life. You make that statement now, you'll be saved. When we finish here, the screen will go change. Suddenly you see three crosses on the screen, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell. He will take some scriptures further. He will talk to you about salvation, and he will pray with you so that you can make sure that today you will be born again. I pray that you take that opportunity. To those of you that are walking with the Lord and faithfully listening to us, your cyber members of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, I want you to take time this afternoon and go through these scriptures that we talked about. Ask the Lord to make them come alive to you. Get the time of the resurrection. Get that story down in your heart and your spirit so that you know about the resurrection. So when you tell people about Jesus, you can tell them with a passion. Not to say, well, I heard such and such thing. You want to read it. You want to pray about it. You want it to be your story. The greatest story ever told. That's what you want to make it. And I pray that you will do that. May God bless you. We love you. And here now is Brother Thomas to close in prayer.
I want to mention something before I close in prayer, too. Brother Henry, he mentioned it earlier, the turmoil in Hong Kong. And I put that in an email to a friend this morning, or to a group of friends. And what I've been hearing is a lot of, reading a lot of articles online that is rumblings of a civil war in the United States of America, and civil unrest, okay? So that is not to be taken lightly. And I'm actually going to show the email that I sent out to him later today. The only avenue really that we have right now is to pray against this evil. Because I believe that the powers that be would love nothing more than to see a breakdown of our society and civil unrest. So I think it's well worth mentioning that this is on the blogs and the websites across the nation. So I'm seeing it on a regular basis. It just keeps coming up in my, in my email and stuff like that. So, I'm gonna pray about that. Father God, we lift up the United States of America to you. We know that we were given a constitution that is phenomenal in the history of man. And it produced a great nation under God. Now this nation is gone backwards. It has plenty of blood on its hands, and it is, I would say, the habitation of every evil bird. And we need to, this nation needs to repent. And we know that over time and history, that nations have risen and nations have fallen. And every judgment against every nation on this earth has been a righteous judgment. We also know that the Antichrist system is struggling to rise. So we're going to pray against that evil system. that we see encompassing us on every side. And we're going to pray against the enemy wanting to have blood in the streets in the USA, wanting to have that civil unrest so that they can implement a new plan and totally tear down what's left of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So I thank you, Father God, for awakening amongst the pastors and the Christians in the U.S. We know there's probably a greater awakening in other nations as to what is happening. This nation is studied by other people in other nations. So we thank you for putting down this evil work. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. We thank you for also the message that we heard today. There's nothing new under the sun. We see the political moves that were made. We see the personal moves that were made. And we see that same kind of situation played out all over the earth time and again. There is nothing new. We thank you for the Bible that gives man the story of our creation, of our being, of who we are, how we were created, the avenues that can be taken, the end result. It tells everything, past, present, and future. It lets us know that God does not live in time, but He created time. It's a magnificent revelation to mankind. So we thank you for this great book, the Bible. We thank you for salvation and knowledge of the truth. We pray against all perversions of the truth. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments.
That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own Son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 20th part in the series, The Life of Jesus, and was entitled, The Resurrection. When the atonement was finished on the cross, the Son of God left His body and went to paradise, where He stayed for 3 days and nights, including a short trip over to hell to inform the people therein that the atonement was complete and their fate was sealed. Meanwhile, Joseph of Arimathea collected the body of Jesus and put him in a tomb, and the Sanhedrin nervously stationed Roman soldiers outside, not because they believed he would rise from the dead, but because they didn't want the body stolen. The disciples of Jesus had gone into hiding, grieving over the death of their Messiah. None of them had any faith that Jesus would be resurrected. The third day arrived, and Jesus left paradise and came back to the tomb. The Holy Spirit surged through the dead body, making it come alive the moment Jesus re-entered the body. The guards froze in fear when they saw the angel roll away the stone from the tomb. The Jewish leadership refused to repent and initiated a cover-up. But it was impossible to contain the truth. Jesus had risen from the dead just as He said He would. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1724. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.